Hey, good people. How are you? Welcome to today's episode. This is Marianne, and thanks for tuning in. So today, I'd like to talk about hope. Recently, I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, and I sort of quoted and said, you know, hope deferred. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is like a tree of life. It's a great scripture, right? I mean, it's a wonderful scripture when you think about it, because it makes you feel like, oh, wow, yeah, I've been having hope for this thing, and it's been so long. I've not received what I've been believing God for, what I've been waiting for, what I've been dreaming for, what I had as a promise from God. I've not received it, and it's been many, many years. And maybe it might make you feel encouraged when you think about, yeah, but you know, that desire will come to pass. And you go thinking, one day, that desire will come to pass. You know, one day I will get to that point that I've been desiring to get into. Then one day that desire to serve God with all my heart and body and soul will come to pass. You think, one day I'll get to live in the house that God promised that I'd live in, or I'd get to hold on a great job, or I'd get to, one day, I'd get to AXYZ, depending on the kind of expectation or dream which you've had. And I know many of us would quote that scripture and say, yeah, for sure, hope deferred really does make the heart sick. Like, there are those who've been believing God to open their wombs and for them to get babies, you know, and maybe they're there saying, yes, when the desire comes one day, that desire to be parents will come, that desire to travel around the world will come to pass. So as I was busy explaining and just sharing my heart out with this friend of mine about that scripture, they drew my attention to something very interesting. And this is what they said. They said to me, you know what, Marianne? We are the new covenant believers. We are the new testament. You know, a testament is basically a covenant. And under the new covenant, our hope cannot be deferred. It is impossible for our hope to be deferred. My attention was drawn to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And in this particular portion of the scripture, the Bible says that, and hope maketh not ashamed. I'm actually just paraphrasing it, because, I mean, it was just so wonderful. When I read it, I was like, what? Why had I never seen this in this way before? And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I mean, Sela, just think about it. That hope maketh not ashamed. And that is actually the position, that is our position under the new covenant. Because we need to understand who we are. We need to even first understand the nature of God for us to really come for us to really come to that place where we say, I understand really what the new covenant is all about. We need to understand the nature of God. And it is God who's there. You know, he ratified this covenant. And, you know, Paul, as the apostle, was writing, and he was telling the Romans that hope, our hope maketh not ashamed. You know, the definition of hope is an expectation or anticipation of pleasure. Anticipation of pleasure. Your anticipation of a good thing. That is what hope basically means. You see, when you're anticipating that your situation will turn around, What that in essence means is that you have hope when you are anticipating that your loved one or even you yourself is going to receive your healing, you're going to get well, you know, whatever ailment, the disease, that you're going to get better. That is hope. If you're anticipating that you will not be ashamed, that you will not be auctioned because of all the debts that you've incurred, and you're really hoping and anticipating that God will come through for you, that is hope. And the Bible is saying that hope maketh not ashamed, that your expectation or anticipation of that good thing cannot be brought to shame. Under the new covenant, our rights. You see, we have been born, we've been birthed into a new family. You look at John chapter 1 and verse 12, that as many as believed him, they were given the power to become the children of God. So that means we were born into the kingdom of God because we believed in Jesus Christ. We are not like the believer under the old covenant who was waiting on God to visit at times and in certain seasons when the Spirit of God would come upon someone and that person would prophesy and that person would, you know, give, would be a judge or a prophet or a priest. Back in the Old Testament, the people had to wait for a mediator. They needed a mediator between them and God. But that is not the same case under the New Testament, because under the New Covenant, we do not need a mediator between us and God. The veil was torn right in the middle. That's what the Bible says. At the death of Jesus Christ, that veil was torn in the temple, giving every person access. As long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you have direct access to the Father. You do not need an intermediary. You see, what Jesus Christ did is he came and he took our position. He came, he took our sin. He came, he took our shame. He took our reproach. He bore it all at the cross. That's exactly what he did. And when he was at that cross, the sin of mankind was upon him. But glory to God, he overcame the cross. He died. He resurrected. And he's been glorified. So you can imagine, we've now been born into the family of God. We are righteous, not because of anything that we've ever done. We have been made righteous because of what Christ has done. So every time that God looks at you, every time that God looks at me, he does not consider me and according to my works and say, Marianne, you're okay. You've been justified because you prayed 5 times or you've been reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God doesn't look at you and say, you've been made righteous because you help the poor. You've been kind to animals. You're a good person, so you're righteous. That's not the thing. When God looks at us, he sees us through Jesus Christ. We've been made acceptable because of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, because we've been born into this, and everything that God had, he gave it to Christ. It's all been given to Jesus Christ. And because Christ is in me, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. How then can our hope be deferred? It's completely impossible for our hope to be deferred as sons of the new covenant. It just is impossible. It's actually illegal. It's an illegality in the kingdom of God for our hope to be deferred. And so therefore, we talk about that our hope cannot be ashamed, that our expectation, our anticipation for good cannot be ashamed. So what are you trusting God for? What have you been believing God for? Maybe take your scripture, take your Bible, underline Romans chapter 5 verse 5 and read it and reread it and meditate on it and encourage yourself that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad by His Spirit. We are not living in the times when we are anticipating and hoping that God will come through for us. We are not hoping that God will come through for us. We are giving thanks because we know for a fact that God will come through for us. Raise up your hands. Lift up your hands. Raise your eyes. Rejoice and be glad, because that which you've been expecting, that which you've been anticipating, it is going to come to pass. You can never be ashamed. No, you cannot be ashamed. You cannot be embarrassed. Because as Christ is, so are we in this world. He has made us just as He is. And so, this is my short message of, do I say encouragement? But it's not really an encouragement when you think about this is really your position. This is actually a message to remind you of who you are, to remind you of the position that you occupy, to remind you that you're not an accident looking for a place to happen, to remind you that before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God knew you and He already ordained you and He already set you apart. And the fact that you're here breathing, the fact that you're here today, you have strength. You know, you have sanity. That is enough evidence to remind you that, you know what, God is not through with you. You still have an assignment. There is still so much for you to do. So today, you know what? You're not under the weather. You're not under the economy. You are over the weather. Therefore, you walk in divine healing. Hallelujah. You are not under the economy. You're over the economy. Because though you are in this world, you are not of the world. When everyone is crying that economy is bad, when everyone is crying that businesses are closing, when everyone is crying that companies are laying people off, guess what happens to you? You rejoice because you're being promoted. You rejoice because your business gets more contracts. You rejoice because you're elevated. The Bible tells me that Isaac sowed in famine. He sowed in famine and then he reaped 100-fold. You see, we do not talk about empty rhetorics. We don't just stand and talk about things that have never happened to anyone. The beautiful thing about the Bible, the beautiful thing about our faith is that we can go back to the Word of God and we can encourage ourselves and we can build our faith because we have seen what God has done to other people that have gone ahead of us. And based on the fact that we know that God is faithful, based on the fact that we know God is just, based on the fact that we know God is love, so we know what He does for one, He can do for another. And let me take it a step further and say, even if He's never done it for anyone on earth, He can do it for you. If He needs to make a way out for you, He will make out a way for you. Imagine Moses when he came to the Red Sea. What did he feel? When he comes to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army is right behind him, and the children of Israel have already started complaining and murmuring, saying, "Hey, Moses, we knew it. We knew we couldn't trust you. So you brought us all the way here so that we could die right now. So guess what, Moses? You're gonna die first." So he had all these people telling him that. The Egyptian army was closing in fast and furious behind them. What did Moses do? He had to cry to God. What did God say? "Stretch out your rod over the seas." He had never done that before. Moses had never seen the Red Sea or any sea. Even he had never seen any water part, not even water in a basin. He had never seen it part. That was the first time he was seeing that. But you can imagine how he must have felt. What was that for him? Parting? Oh my goodness. But he obeyed. And in his obedience, what happened? God caused the winds to come and to blow, and the Red Sea parted. And the children of Israel walked on dry ground. Can you imagine the state of mind Moses must have been in. What was going through his heart at that point? What was going through his mind, you know, looking at the water? This, he was looking and thinking, this is not a wall. This is water. If this side and that side decide to fellowship, we're done for. We're totally done for. And the miracle happens that when the last Israelite stepped out of the sea, the Red Sea came back together and it swallowed up the Pharaoh's army, the Egyptians' army. They were all swallowed up. So this is the thing that I'm saying. If we go further on that tangent, you realize that Elijah, he parted the Jordan. Even before Elijah came, the children of Israel, when they came to the Jordan, it was easier for them. They had already heard of the Red Sea. They had already seen, some had seen, and they had told their children. And so therefore, there was a generation that knew God could part the seas and the waters. And so when they come to the Jordan, it wasn't a struggle. All they did, they step into the Jordan, and guess what? It parts, and they walk as though they're walking on dry ground. Years later, Elijah comes, parts, puts his mantle, strikes the mantle, the water with the mantle. The water parts. And they step out with Elisha. And then now Elijah is taken up with a whirlwind. And when now Elisha is coming back, he needs to cross the Jordan. What does he do? He takes the mantle of Elijah. He he hits the Jordan, and the Jordan parts. What am I saying? I am trying to say that it had first happened with Moses. But after that, everyone got to have the confidence and the belief that there is a God who can actually, our God can part waters. In the New Testament, Jesus didn't part the waters. He walked right on top of that. And what happened? Peter was like, okay, so we are walking on the water. I need to walk on this water. And it's recorded, Peter is the first human being to walk on water. And therefore, you need to have your hope anchored in the character of God, in the fact that God creates rivers in the desert, in the fact that God makes a way where there is no way. Have your confidence in God. Do not base your confidence on the people around you, on the goodness or the kindness of people around you. No, don't base your confidence on the fact that your best friend promised you that they would give you something at the end of the month, and you know they're good people, and you know that they can't fail you. Don't base your confidence on the fact that your parent promised you an inheritance. They told you, you see that little parcel of land that's on this place or in that other place? That's yours. You're gonna have that. That is yours. Nobody should ever bother you about it. That's your inheritance. And therefore, you base your confidence that things are gonna get better on the fact that there is a land, some parcel of land somewhere out there. We cannot base our confidence on such things. Rather, our confidence has to be based, has to be founded, has to be laid firmly and strongly on the character of God. It can only be that or that. There are no two ways about it. Because it's either God speaks the truth or he speaks the truth. Let every man be a liar and God remain to be true. And as surely as God lives, your hope can never be deferred. As surely as God lives, your hope will never make you ashamed. Are you trusting God for finances? Are you trusting God for healing? Are you trusting God for restoration? Are you trusting God for peace of mind? Are you trusting God to get into that place of purpose, to walk in the fullness of what He or of what He created you to be? What are you trusting God for? Your hope can never be ashamed. Settle that in your spirit. Your hope can never be ashamed. Underline the scriptures, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Underline that scripture. Read it and reread it prayerfully. Meditate on it and let it become your anchor. the storms will come. Oh, and they rage. And they come fast and furious. But when the storms come, the Spirit of God will raise the standard by the Word. And so you need to be filled with the Word of God. When your mind and the enemy is attacking your mind and showing you, you know what? You think you're walking in purpose. Look at you. Do you see how far behind you are in life? That's a point where you stand and say, my hope can never be ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by His Spirit. When everything seems to be falling apart, sit, remember that your hope can never be ashamed. Wow. I pray that you have strength in your heart. You have fortitude in your spirit to keep walking on the path that God has put you on. I pray that you have strength and that you're renewed. May your strength be renewed like the eagles. You shall walk and you shall not be weary. You shall run and you shall not faint. You are strong in all ways. And therefore, today the message that I leave you with is, your hope in God will never cause you to be ashamed. So, you know what? Put a smile on your face. Rejoice. Be glad. As you walk through the fire with a smile, knowing that you do not live in the furnace you're just walking through. And you will come out on the other side. Today it's all about hope. Keep hope alive. Be hopeful in all things. So God bless you. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Marianne, and you know what? You are blessed. Your best days are right now. Hey, God bless you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.